Laura Kanoy here. Thanks for listening to The Exchange. You'll hear several viewpoints and many interesting questions in this hour from people all over the state. There's no other place in New Hampshire where such a broad array of Granite Staters chime in and foster such a robust exchange of ideas. And as important as you are to the depth of the conversation, you also play a pivotal role in NHPR's finances. We're radio for New Hampshire by New Hampshire. Please click the support button at the top of the page at nhpr.org. From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Social issues like gay marriage, abortion, or contraception coverage are often ranked last when pollsters ask voters what concerns them most this election year. And yet these issues keep coming up in state and federal races. For example, in the contest for New Hampshire governor, Democrat Maggie Hassan frequently raises them as she depicts her Republican rival Over the Montaigne as out of step with New Hampshire values. LaMontagne, meanwhile, often says Hassan is focusing on these issues to avoid what he describes as a dismal record on taxes and economic policy, which he says is what voters really care about. Social issues also came up in this week's presidential debate with the candidates sparring over women's contraception coverage and Planned Parenthood. And Democratic and Republican congressional campaigns in New Hampshire nationwide have accused each other of either waging a war on women, to quote the Democrats, or waging a war on religious freedom, which is how Republicans put it. This hour on The Exchange, our Issue of the Week series continues. Today we look at where the candidates for governor and Congress stand on social issues. And let's hear from you this hour. How important are subjects like gay marriage, abortion, contraception to you in voting for or against a candidate? Is there one particular issue that you find the most important or that you think gets raised too often? Also, how do you hear the contenders talking about these issues this year, and what more do you want to hear? The Exchange number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. With me in studio is Dean Spiliota, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, author of the popular website nhpoliticalcapital.com. And Dean, always good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Sure. Good morning, Laura.
And joining us shortly will be Kevin Landrigan, longtime political reporter for the Telegraph of Nashua. He is right now covering yet another gubernatorial debate, so we'll talk with Kevin in a couple minutes. Dean, if voters put these at the bottom of the list of priorities, and they do, I looked at a lot of polls yesterday, why do candidates keep talking about these subjects?
Well, I think because at some level it's deceptive to group social issues as a completely separate entity from all the other things going on in a presidential race. You know, the most basic reason is a lot of these issues, particularly abortion, contraception, health care, are important to women. Democrats have traditionally enjoyed a bit of an advantage with women. We call it the gender gap in elections. And so Republicans have been working hard to close that gap, and Romney has made some progress in recent weeks in doing that. So I think there's a very kind of basic electoral reason why people focus on these issues. But it's also the case that these are emotional issues. They kind of get to the basis for how people live their lives. It's a very kind of personal discussion in many cases. And it's also the case that these issues cut across a number of different policy domains. So maybe we're talking about contraception or abortion. You can talk about that in an economic way, in a healthcare way, in a personal security way. So for me, these social issues as a separate entity, they typically don't register high in polls, as you said in the opening. But the reality is that they're interwoven into a lot of other policy domains that we deal with, which is why they keep coming up again. And they're personal, and they also can have a big electoral impact, particularly in that gap between Democrats and Republicans.
Well, and talk about that a little bit more then. Even though, again, poll after poll after poll, they're ranked at the bottom, why do they have a big electoral impact, as you say, Dean?
Well, I think there's a perception out there that Republicans have had to fight against, that Democrats are more responsive to certain issues, particularly abortion, choice, access to contraception. I mean, these have been big debates this year. You've seen Democrats talk about a war on women, the potential for defunding Planned Parenthood and the various services that Planned Parenthood provides around the country, whether you're talking about abortion or cancer screening or other types of health care to people who need it. Democrats have been able to kind of use these issues in order to drive up this gender gap. And you've seen a number of different pieces of legislation in Congress that we can talk about that have attempted to defund Planned Parenthood or kind of redefine whether or not federal funds can be used for abortion. So electorally, it's played out as this kind of discussion about a kind of cluster of issues that have a big impact on women. And it's been very controversial. But typically in recent elections, Democrats have benefited from that. And I think you saw Mitt Romney somewhat inartfully in the last debate try to recast a lot of this stuff as an economic issue, talking about, pay disparity or other issues with women and the family. So they are trying to close that gap. And if you look at the polling data, he has made some progress. President Obama had a fairly large advantage with women, even among independents. And Romney has closed that gap a bit.
Well, and joining us now on the phone is our friend and colleague, Kevin Landergan, again, longtime reporter for the Telegraph of Nashua, lead writer for the LobbyNH.com. Kevin, thank you very much for taking the time out from all your political coverage to join us.
Thank you, Laura. Great to be with you.
Well, and we've been talking, Kevin, about the social issues, you know, again, typically defined as gay marriage, abortion, and more recently, contraception coverage. Dean talked about how these have played a role in past federal elections. How important a role have you seen these issues playing out in past New Hampshire elections, Kevin? And then I wonder if that has changed or not.
Well, certainly in federal elections, as Dean was saying, they seem to have a greater impact, at least in my experience, when the economy is better than it is right now. Obviously, all the polls are showing that jobs and the economy are utmost on the minds of voters right now. And certainly, we've seen, particularly during the late 1980s when the economy was good, and then in the mid to late 1990s when the economy in New Hampshire was also very good, that these issues can be used really effectively to draw a great contrast between candidates. As you know, we've been a pro-choice state in New Hampshire since the Roe versus Wade decision. That was what was one of the biggest changes that happened in our New Hampshire legislature, electing a supermajority of Republicans in the House of Representatives that tried to advance a lot of anti-abortion legislation and passed a couple as well.
So this has played a role in some of our New Hampshire campaigns. Kind of depends partly on what the economy's doing. Is that what you're saying, Kevin?
Yeah, I am. I mean, and certainly we've seen in the presidential race, Mitt Romney's tried to make these issues that are important to women to be an economic argument. He's trying to bring the discussion back into the wheelhouse issue that is most important to voters right now, which is the economy and jobs. But certainly certainly in this race, in New Hampshire, in the 1st Congressional District, there's a pretty strong contrast on abortion between Frank Kent, the Republican, who's anti-abortion, and Carol Shea Porter, the Democrat, who's pro-choice. But in the 2nd Congressional District, much less of contrast. You have two essentially pro-choice candidates, Charlie Bass against public funding of abortion, but otherwise it's pretty consistently been pro-choice. And so in that respect, and someone who's frankly been on the ballot for 16 of the last 20 years, it hasn't played as much of a role as it otherwise probably would.
Let me invite our listeners to join us, gentlemen, and then a lot more questions. Our number here in the exchange again is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, today in the exchange, it's our Issue of the Week series, and this week we're focusing in on how social issues are being talked about by this year's campaigns. We'd love your thoughts and comments. How important are these subjects, like abortion or contraception or gay marriage, to you when it comes to voting for or against a candidate? Is there one issue that is really the most important to you as a voter, or one that you think gets raised too often as we hear the contenders talk about these issues? Give us your thoughts at 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. And guys, let's go to the phones, and Ariel's joining us from Manchester. Hi, Ariel. Go ahead. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my comments.
Go ahead, Ariel.
I just wanted to kind of talk about the issue of women's rights and gay marriage in general. And if the candidates are saying all the time that they are not as important as the economic issues, but yet they're bringing them up all the time, I find that's kind of a discrepancy in what they're saying. And it's incredibly important for us young people now, because what they decide now is going to affect us in the rest of our lives.
So how do you feel about the way these issues are being talked about, Ariel? I mean, in one sense, it sounds like you're glad they're talking about it.
Oh, I'm incredibly glad that they're talking about it. And I feel like this has kind of been a back burner discussion. But I find it difficult that it hasn't come up in especially the presidential debates so much, and they're trying to turn it into the economic issues. Because they definitely do need to really focus on it, because 50% of the country, at least, is women. And there's a huge amount of LGBTQ voters in our state and also all across the country.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Ariel. So here you have somebody, Dean Spiliotis, who says, contrary to what the polls say, I want to hear about these issues.
Sure. I mean, obviously, it's an important part of the political narrative in this election cycle. You know, I think one reason why you hear about it so much is because these issues speak to the basis of both party in very different ways. Both parties, you have a lot of activists who are very passionate about these issues and who pursue them even when we're not in an election cycle. And so I think that's part of the reason. You know, there is some research to show that these issues are maybe a little bit less important to kind of your sort of average sort of independent voter or moderate voter who's maybe paying a little bit of less attention to the process. So I think there is kind of a political rationale. As Ariel mentioned, they keep bringing them up, even though polling data shows it's maybe not the key decisive set of issues. It clearly motivates core activists in the party on each side. These are very passionate issues. And these are battles that are fought in Congress. And we can talk about a number of the different amendments that have been kicked around in Congress over the last couple of years. A lot of activity surrounding them. And also, I think one of the reasons why you've seen heightened salience in New Hampshire is because we have a more conservative state legislature now, particularly the House of Representatives. And so a lot of these issues, you know, typically people think of New Hampshire as this kind of libertarian state. But a lot of these issues keep cycling back up now because we do have this more conservative House of Representatives. So important political impact in terms of mobilizing core partisans on each side. There's a lot of passion, even if maybe it's not the sort of key overarching vote decision for why most people vote.
Well, and Ariel, again, mentioned gay marriage, and I want to talk to both of you guys after a break about that, because that's a big issue here in New Hampshire. But real quickly, Kevin, just to wrap up our conversation about abortion, what impact do you think abortion might have on our races here in New Hampshire this year, especially on the governor's side?
Yes, yeah, certainly. I think it certainly could have an impact. We've seen in the polls, by the way, that there is still a pretty significant gender gap in the race for governor, that Maggie Hassan, the Democratic nominee who is pro-choice, is running solidly ahead of the Republican Olvin Lamontagne, who is anti-abortion. And I always feel like these issues, in addition to whether they're the dominant issue or not, if there's a narrative in the state about the issue, then it plays as a more powerful one. And we've seen that in New Hampshire, as Dean pointed out. It's been in the discussion a great deal, and I think had a lot to do with President Obama's surge in New Hampshire during the summer months. He was pushing the issue of abortion and contraception and women's equality, and there was a narrative here in New Hampshire as policies were changing in the legislature.
Well, all right. We'll pick up more on gay marriage, contraception coverage after a short break. Let's check in now very quickly with our fall membership drive.
It's NHPR's fundraiser, NHPR, New Hampshire Public Radio. Radio made right here in the Granite State for Granite Staters. Of course, we do carry programs we don't make, like All Things Considered Morning Edition Here and Now, Radio Lab. But being New Hampshire Public Radio means serving Granite Staters, which means making radio right here in the state. The Exchange is a great example of that, what public radio New Hampshire style sounds like.
And what do you think the implication is? I mean, this is sort of the big question overhanging this whole thing. What's the implication of not having a civically educated society?
I think it's hard.
How does that play out?
I think it's hard to run a democracy unless you've got effectively run a democracy, participate in a democracy, which requires participation by definition, if you don't understand what in the world it is you're participating in. And
NHPR is a community of radio makers and radio listeners. You tune in to be entertained, informed, and inspired, and your membership makes New Hampshire Public Radio possible. Here's how you can help.
You can help at nhpr.org or by calling 1-800-800-8000. 888-805-6477. Locally sourced, locally made, locally sustainable radio is what you are supporting when you help the station out today. We have $7,900 left to reach our goal this morning. And of course, everyone who helps sustain this radio service is entered to win a drawing for a MacBook Pro this morning at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
Social issues, the topic of the issue of the week, an ongoing series on The Exchange. Word of Mouth actually spoke earlier this week with the Steve Kornacki from The Cycle about not the issues that weren't being talked about. And of course, we learned that that's part of the strategy of the campaigns to not talk about some particular issues. Well, The Exchange is not having it. They are digging into social issues today, and not just about the presidential candidates, but the gubernatorial and congressional and state Senate candidates. Another conversation from The Exchange that is helping to give you the full picture and all of the information when you head into the voting booth. That is what we do here on New Hampshire Public Radio, more informed citizenry. That's what we're all about. And I know that that's an important value to you, so why not support it today? NHPR.org. You can set up your sustainer plan right there or at 1-888-805-6477.
The reason you listen to The Exchange is because the level of discourse on The Exchange is elevated. Members of NHPR's leadership circle, they lead by example. Your pledge of $100 per month is a demonstration of your commitment to the service of elevated discourse. Your donation helps keep NHPR and The Exchange strong and the Granite State well-informed. You can join the ranks of the leadership circle at nhpr.org. Check out all the benefits of being a Leadership Circle member or give us a call, 1-888-805-6477.
And when you donate today, you will be entered into a drawing for a MacBook Pro, a sleek, slender laptop that has 500 gigabytes of storage, 7 hours of battery life. It's fast, it lasts, and it's more than enough to stream your favorite NHPR programs or update your Facebook page or Twitter page or send emails to your friends, whatever you choose to do with it. You could be in the running for this MacBook Pro when you become a sustaining member. $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, $30 a month, $100 a month, whatever you can afford. NHPR.org is the way to set up that sustaining membership or at 1-888-805-6477.
New Hampshire is known for its foliage, but the season only spans for a few weeks. When you donate at $10 a month, not only will you get the NHPR member card, but we will also send you the NHPR member mug. It features images of autumnal splendor from right here in the Granite State. You'll be reminded of all the season's brilliance every time you drink your morning cup of coffee, and you get to drink it out of an NHPR mug and feel good about it at the same time. You can check out the mug and make your gift of $10 a month at nhpr.org or when you call us, 1-888-805-6477.
And call-ins, of course, are an important part of the program, The Exchange. Loved hearing from that woman, Ariel, adding her thoughts about the issues that were important to her. It really does take the conversation someplace else. You know, that's what Laura does so beautifully. She, the producers, may not even expect to be taken off in these different directions, but what she does is follows them. She truly listens to what the caller is saying and keys off of that and makes that a part of the conversation. Conversations can't be scripted. Conversations about civic events have passion behind them. They have feeling. They have interest. So that's what you bring to The Exchange. We hope that you can be a part of supporting that program today. NHPR.org is the way to do it, or at 1-888-805-6477.
Of course, everybody who supports the station this morning is entered to win a brand new MacBook Pro. Help us make our goal this morning. Keep The Exchange going. NHPR.org or 1-888-805-6477.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the Joslin Diabetes Center affiliate at Frisbee Memorial Hospital in Rochester, offering comprehensive diabetes care to patients across southeastern New Hampshire. FrisbeeHospital.com. And from University of New Hampshire School of Law, hosting the Kennison Lecture on the Texas Model of School Discipline and Juvenile Justice on October 25th. law.unh.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, our Issue of the Week series continues with a look at where the contenders stand on social issues in this election year. We invite you to join us. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. How important are topics like gay marriage, abortion, contraception coverage to you in voting for or against a particular candidate? Is there one issue that you find especially important? Is there one issue that you think is being talked about too much? Also, what's your general impression of how this year's candidates are talking about these issues? What more do you want to hear from them? Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Dean Spiliotis is here, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, along with Kevin Landrigan, longtime political reporter for the Telegraph of Nashua. Kevin's joining us from Manchester, just finished covering a gubernatorial debate. And Kevin, if I could ask you about the governor's race a little bit more. Since we're talking about social issues, let's talk about gay marriage. New Hampshire is one of a handful of states that allows same-sex marriage. The legislature tried to repeal the law this year, but that effort failed. How are the gubernatorial candidates talking about this, Kevin?
Well, certainly the Democrat, Maggie Hastings, brought it up a fair amount of the time. And over LaMontagne, the Republican candidate who opposes same-sex marriage, has tried to kind of deflect a lot of attention to it, just it's not a priority of his. He did appear at a rally, though, 6 months ago in support of the legislation to repeal same-sex marriage. And he has essentially said that he would sign legislation that would repeal same-sex marriage as long as it wouldn't outlaw marriages that have already occurred in the last 3 years and would permit in the future gay and lesbian couples to enter into civil unions.
So he wouldn't, if it were repealed, he wouldn't disband, so to speak, those marriages already done under the law. Those would stand, and future same-sex couples could seek a civil union. That's his position on that.
That's correct. Yeah.
How big a deal do you think this is in New Hampshire for voters, Kevin?
I think certainly along with other social issues, as Dean has mentioned, the base of both political parties feel very strongly about it. And it has mobilized a lot of financial and volunteer support for both candidates, as we've seen. Republicans for Freedom and Equality, which is an organization that supports retaining the same-sex marriage law, has spent a lot of money in the primary supporting Republicans who defend same-sex marriage. Cornerstone Action, a socially conservative group that led the campaign, the failed effort to try and repeal the law, is now raising money pretty aggressively to try and support legislative candidates who will vote to repeal same-sex marriage. So we're certainly seeing a lot of activity on the ground on this issue, even if the candidates aren't always talking about it.
Now, that's a real interesting point. I'm glad you raised that, Kevin. Dean, more from you, too, if you could, please. Kevin's saying it's not just a way to mobilize voters, but it's a way to mobilize money.
Yeah, absolutely. Increasingly, in recent election cycles, and it's been aided by campaign finance decisions and also technology, because these groups can kind of work well in covering a lot of different very localized elections and localized issues. So it brings in a lot of money. Typically we say that there aren't a lot of single issue voters out there in the electorate. People are normally voting on a combination of issues, but there are some very powerful single issue groups where they really spend a lot of time and money and resources coordinating at the grassroots. And as we've discussed, there's a lot of money out there now. And because gay marriage is being decided in the states, often either at the ballot box or in the state legislature, there's a lot of focus on this in a way that we hadn't seen in the past.
And I want to ask you about the gay marriage at the presidential level, Dean. But one more New Hampshire question for you, Kevin. You touched on this, but just remind us again, in the primary this year, so I'm talking about the primary not only for the major races, but smaller primaries for state House and state Senate seats, there was a group, as I think you mentioned, Kevin, an outside group that spent a lot of cash on pro-same-sex Republican contenders for the New Hampshire House. That was an unusual twist, wasn't it?
It was, and they had some fairly good success. There's actually a New York hedge fund manager that gave this this pro same-sex marriage group more than $100,000, something we had never really seen before, that kind of magnitude, particularly in primaries for the state legislature. I mean, we're talking about folks who only make $100 a year and typically don't raise, you know, more than a couple of $100 in a primary campaign. But this organization spent a lot of money on direct mail and phone calls to targeted Republican and independent voters, primarily folks they had already identified as supporting same-sex marriage, to tell them, hey, it's important you to know your legislator or your candidate supports same-sex marriage. Please get to the polls. They had about an 85% success rate in the primary. And as I say,
85%, Kevin, is that what you said?
They did. And I think the socially conservative groups basically have woken up now. And we just saw in a campaign finance report that was just reported yesterday that Cornerstone Action, socially conservative group, again, opposed the same-sex marriage, just accepted $85,000 from Focus on the Family. This Focus on the Family group, which is one of the leading socially conservative organizations in the country politically, they formed this 501c4 entity called Citizen Link, and Citizen Link gave $85,000 to Cornerstone. And I think they're trying to basically fight fire with fire. I mean, Cornerstone complained
money with money, right?
Right. Cornerstone complained about this big money and suggested it may even be illegal for the pro same-sex marriage group to receive it. The Attorney General said, no, it is not illegal, thanks to the Citizens United decision that allows unlimited amounts to be donated to these groups that are working to advocate on issues but not support candidates. And so Cornerstone Action turned around, looked at one of the biggest national fundraisers of religious and socially conservative organizations, said, please write us a check, and they have.
All right, let's take some more calls, gentlemen. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Cliff's calling from where? Hi, Cliff. Thanks for hanging on the line. Go ahead.
Hi. An issue that I see that's continually ignored is the race issue. And I guess it's ignored because African-Americans always vote Democratic, and I think they do a disservice to themselves and the whole country by continually just looking, being a vote that's counted on by the Democratic Party. And I think it does a disservice because nothing's been done as far as we're still talking about the same problems in the ethnic areas as far as education goes that we were talking about 40 years ago.
So you're saying, Cliff, when we talk about social issues, let's add race to that mix.
Why is race not talked about?
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling in. Dean?
Yeah, it's a very interesting comment. I'm thinking through this conceptually. It's pretty complex. There is a sense that African Americans typically vote in very high numbers. I think upwards of 95% for Democratic candidates. We've also seen two parties work very hard to make inroads into the Latino community. George W. Bush's president, I think, was getting upwards of 40% of a Latino vote. That has now dropped pretty significantly, and Democrats seem to have an advantage there as well. You know, I think typically what you see here is that you know, sort of absent a discussion of civil rights, typically now race kind of gets mixed into these other issues, education, the economy, federal benefits, whether, you know, we're talking about welfare reform, et cetera. So I understand his point. But I do think that this issue has kind of gotten, and maybe it's a sign of progress, though it sounds like Cliff feels like not enough progress has been made, that this issue has kind of gotten folded into these other economic and educational areas.
Well, you still do see these enormous economic and health gaps between African Americans and whites.
Yes, but the conversation is sort of less so now separately about race and more about race in the context of educational attainment or access to health care, rather than kind of a separate discussion about civil rights or race on its own.
Well, and I'm glad he called because there's another question. It relates to another question I wanted to ask you, Dean. I have read that some African-American church leaders have said they may not support President Obama this time around because of his recent stated support for gay marriage. Yeah, is that going to hurt him in the black community?
I honestly don't know that it will hurt him all that much. I have heard some of those same comments. You know, my sense is that, thinking of some polling data, that African Americans typically express more conservative views on gay marriage than non-African Americans. So in the community in particular, and in the religious community, there's been some concern about President Obama coming out in favor of gay marriage this past year. You know, the reality is, in thinking about that issue, there's been a fascinating cultural shift over the last 10 years. It really wasn't that long ago, 2004, 2008, when civil unions was kind of the de facto position in the Democratic Party, right? It was important to hear Democratic candidates talk about civil unions. Now, Democrats have largely embraced gay marriage, and Republicans, the de facto position is civil unions. So I think the whole debate has kind of shifted. And I think, you know, President Obama has come around gradually. I think getting through the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was very important for him. We've seen almost no problems with that so far, and there had been a lot of predictions of real problems. So I just think it's a natural shift on the issue. I think public opinion is shifting on the issue, and I think over time, increasingly, the country will move beyond civil unions to a broader acceptance of gay marriage. Now, the issue with that is it's being fought primarily at the local level, unlike the sort of federal issues about funding Planned Parenthood or federally funded abortions. Gay marriage has really become kind of the purview of state-level politics, state legislatures, state courts, referenda at the state level. So it has a different feeling. I think it's one reason why we're not hearing quite about as much about it in comparison to some of these other women's issues, is because it's really taking place in a somewhat different arena.
Well, and here's another question, again, related to what Cliff said. I think he said we should be talking about race also as a social issue. Kevin Landergan, some analysts, including the Gallup Organization, a well-respected polling group, put other subjects under this broader heading of social issues. For example, they include immigration, medical marijuana, guns. What do you think, Kevin? How widely are these considered social issues in most voters' minds?
Well, to sort of pick up on Dean's point, I think some of these other social issues get kind of woven into the general narrative about the economy. So in many states, when we talk about immigration as an issue, it becomes a proxy for whether too much illegal immigration is stealing jobs from people who are residents here. And certainly in terms of when we talk about guns, as they did during the presidential debate the other night, it was guns became very much a proxy for the issue of violence and economic depravity in the nation's urban areas.
Wow, how everything's getting folded into the economy then, Kevin. Right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, essentially, somehow candidates now, because, again, so much focus is on jobs in the economy, take a lot of these issues and try and weave them into the economic narrative. And certainly folks do that about women's issues as well. When candidates who support abortion and contraception talk about equal opportunity for women and equal rights for women, they're certainly parenthetically saying that also means equal pay for equal work. That also means women should not be discriminated in the workplace by getting benefits on health care that are inferior to men.
Well, and coming up after a short break, guys, I do want to dive into the contraception coverage issue as well, because that's come up under this broader framework of social issues during this campaign. Hey, if you're on the line, stay there, because we'll take your calls after a very short break. We'll be right back.
I'm Sherry Lapierre. I live in Dublin, New Hampshire, and I am a sustaining member of NHPR. The Exchange has impacted me a lot, especially during Senate and congressional races, governor races, because when the candidates are invited on, they have a full hour of Q&A, of stating their views, stating their policies. It's in an environment where it's relatively calm. It's one candidate, he's got the floor or she's got the floor, and I'm always confident in the questions that Laura Kanoy brings up or challenges them with, and I find that very, very beneficial. Being able to call in and talk to, ask Charlie Bass something directly or challenge him directly and give him a chance to state his case or any other candidate for that matter, is really, really valuable in trying to make a decision on, you know, who you're going to vote for. You don't get that anywhere else.
And Sherry, we appreciate that little testimonial to the power of the phone call. We're looking for a phone call right now at 1-888-805-6477 or your membership at nhpr.org. We have $7,200 to go. We want to make $10,000 by 10 o'clock this morning. Your call right now will help us raise this money. And honestly, we need it to keep on track. We are a little bit behind where we would like to be. And if, you know, you were stacking cordwork and you were a little bit behind, you'd be a little panicked about it. We want to get that store ready. It is important to make your donation now and help us raise this $7,200. NHPR.org is the way to do it. 1-888-805-6477.
You listen to The Exchange because Laura is such a skilled moderator, and she's also your advocate. She asks the questions that you would ask, and she's not afraid to follow up when she's worried the answer wasn't clear or didn't, you know, exactly go to the question. This is a rare talent that she's honed over years. She can go from being warm to pointed. Really an unbelievable talent, an unbelievable voice, and the reason why you listen to The Exchange, the reason why you call into The Exchange, and the reason why, frankly, you should support The Exchange at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
Listening to Laura is like listening to a skilled art of the interview. But before you even get a second of that, I'd like to talk about the pre-interview. And this leads me to my ode to Ellen Grimm, happily not in, you know, iambic pentameter or anything. But this is a woman, we sit next to The Exchange over at Word of Mouth, and we hear her dogged pursuit of the right guest, the right angles and ways to cover the nuances of an issue or a topic. And she spends hours on the phone to vet the guests. And she has this kind of great mix of experience and editorial judgment, but enough curiosity that allows her to take the right kind of risks. So I can't say enough good stuff about my colleagues here at NHPR. Your contribution at nhpr.org right now or 1-888-805-6477 makes you an important, essential part of the production of The Exchange and everything else you hear on NHPR.
And of course, everyone who makes a donation to help The Exchange out is automatically entered into a drawing to win a brand new MacBook Pro. This is a laptop of your dreams, the laptop of my dreams, frankly, but unfortunately, I'm disqualified from being able to enter this particular drawing, but you are not. You love The Exchange, you appreciate The Exchange, you love all the programs coming out of New Hampshire Public Radio. And what a better way to thank yourself for giving your gift than to be entered into this great drawing for a brand new MacBook Pro. You can get in on it at nhpr.org or by giving us a call, 1-888-805-6477. $7,200 left to raise before the end of this hour.
And of course, what would support for your local public radio station mean without a mug? Every fall, we get a new mug, and this year's mug is one full of autumn splendor, which I feel like we should have a soundtrack for every time we say autumn splendor. There are pumpkins. There's a butterfly on a zinnia. There are apple orchards. You can listen to NHPR's Morning Edition, drink your morning cup of coffee, gaze into this, and know that you are truly in New Hampshire and that you are supporting the radio service and the news service that informs all of New Hampshire. NHPR.org or 1-888-805-6477. $7,200 to go on this challenge. We'd really like to get there, and we can only do it with your help.
I don't think I'm alone when I say that I've learned most of what I know about the candidates in the local races from listening to The Exchange. This program has hosted no shortage of candidate forums and debates. We're going to be re-airing some of those debates in the evenings this week. This is your source. This is the place where you can hear the questions asked that you would ask if you had a conversation with these candidates and be informed, help you make an informed decision before you go into that voting booth. But before you do that, vote for NHPR. Show us some support. NHPR.org or support The Exchange and all the information you get from it at 1-888-805-6477.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from PSNH, sponsor of Sea Science Center's Green Revolution Exhibit Project, focusing on resource sustainability, conservation, and energy. Details soon at sea-sciencecenter.org. and from the New Hampshire Moose License Plate Program, supporting the Granite State's natural, historical, and cultural heritage. Information online at mooseplate.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, our Issue of the Week series continues with the candidates' stance this year on social issues. We've been talking about gay marriage, abortion, contraception coverage. Others have suggested that other issues be folded into this as well. Perhaps the issue of race, immigration, medical marijuana. Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. And Kevin Landergan, Dean Spiliotis, I want to start off this last segment with an email from Debbie, which came in a few minutes ago. Debbie in Stratham says, as a woman, I'm disgusted by the fact that many women think that someone else, government, insurance, employer, etc., should pay for their birth control. When I was in college in the 70s, Debbie says, we never would have expected anybody but ourselves to pay for our birth control. I guess we were more self-reliant back then. Debbie, thanks for the email. And guys, that does get us into this big issue of contraception coverage. Just remind us, Dean Spiliotis, what this is all about.
Yeah, Republicans have been at pains to make the argument that they're not necessarily opposed to contraception. What they're opposed to is the federal funding of contraception, and in particular mandates in the federal health care mandates in Obamacare that insurers be required to cover the cost of contraception for female employees. So there have been these two key amendments in Congress, one in the House, one in the Senate. In the House, you had the Pence Amendment. This is Mike Pence from Indiana. And he successfully pushed an amendment that would prevent federal funding of Planned Parenthood and its affiliates, which would have in essence affected the provision of birth control. This is the one that Charlie Bass actually voted against, the defunding. And then in the Senate, you had Roy Blunt, who's a senator from Missouri, had an amendment, and this is the one that we hear a lot of talk about, which would allow employers to opt out of federally mandated insurance coverage for birth control based on personal or religious objections. And that was defeated as well. But this has been the discussion, has been, you know, whether or not Democrats have positioned this as Republicans are opposed to birth control. Republicans have said we're not opposed to contraception, but we need to give employers an opportunity to express whether or not they want this covered. So Romney and Ryan have supported the Blunt Amendment, or said, Romney said he would have been in favor of it if he were president. So that's the basic parameters of the issue. There are also a couple of other amendments that the VP candidate, Paul Ryan, had been involved in the House that were quite restrictive in terms of both abortion and contraceptive session. He's now kind of reoriented himself to Romney's position, which is this more general position of insurance coverage.
Well, and Kevin, there's a New Hampshire angle to this as well. This came up in the legislature this year. We talked a week or two ago with the new Catholic bishop for the state, Peter Labashi, about it, this what they call a war on religious freedom, Kevin. So what's this all about in the Granite State?
Yeah, well, certainly this debate played out in the New Hampshire legislature. House Speaker Bill O'Brien felt very strongly about this issue and admitted some surprise when he discovered upon becoming Speaker that for the last 12 years, New Hampshire has had this requirement that that insurers have to provide coverage for birth control. So he pursued legislation, got it passed in the House of Representatives that would allow any business owner who had a moral objection, not just a religious objection, but any kind of moral problem with providing contraception, birth control to their employees to not have to have it in their health care coverage. And the state Senate essentially rejected that proposal. And so that's where we are. But you're right. The issue, too, remains, as we've seen with many of these social issues, remains a rallying cry on both sides, both the Planned Parenthood of Northern New England that's organizing kind of an unprecedented effort on state campaigns this year, spending $500,000, about 10 times more than they've ever spent before in state campaigns in New Hampshire.
Wow, $500,000, you said, Kevin, Planned Parenthood is spending on New Hampshire races?
Right, and just on the race for governor and the executive council and targeted races for the state senate, and we've certainly seen, as I was talking about, Cornerstone and other groups trying to organize and rally their base for their position. They're hosting a religious freedom rally this Saturday outside the State House, and it's predominantly on this healthcare, Obamacare mandate issue.
All right. Well, thanks, Debbie, for that email. And let's take another call, gentlemen. This is Dylan in Plastow. Hi, Dylan. Thanks for waiting. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. My question is, I'm just wondering, I haven't really heard real concrete answers from either presidential candidate on their stance on potentially legalizing marijuana for all the different tax revenue that it could bring into the government, and then we could then distribute through for social issues or to help decrease our deficit. And I was just wondering what your guys' opinion on the subject is and what you think the candidate's opinion is.
So, Dylan, are you talking about legalizing marijuana or marijuana for medical purposes?
Both.
Both, okay. Because I know, Kevin, in the race for New Hampshire governor, first time in my memory that both candidates actually say they would support limited use of medical marijuana, right?
That's right. And that's certainly not happened ever before. And as you know, having followed this issue for many years, Governor John Lynch, who's been the chief executive for the last 8 years, has essentially said philosophically he's not against the idea, but he's always managed to find problems with it. So when the Democrats were in control, they passed a lot of one vetoed it. The Republicans were in control these past 2 years. They passed the medical marijuana bill, and he vetoed that one, too. So to have the gubernatorial candidates all supporting this concept now has folks believing it's entirely possible New Hampshire could become, I believe it would be the 17th state that would allow medical use of marijuana. But as we know, and being just doing at the State House, the devil is in the details. And now it's going to, if these folks who support this cause are now going to have to get to work with whoever gets elected on a platform program that he or she can support.
Yeah, real interesting. And thanks for the call, Dylan. Dean, what do you think on the congressional or presidential level? Is marijuana an issue? Kevin's right. You know, both gubernatorial candidates say they would support this in a limited way.
Yeah, and this really is a state-level issue. And it's interesting. It's one of those social issues, like if you lump casino gambling in as well at the state level, where for the first time we are seeing both gubernatorial candidates talking about some version of casino expanded gambling and also some version of medical marijuana. It shows you kind of the way the sort of political culture has shifted in the state. Not something particularly talked about at the federal level. It's considered, federal drug laws are a separate issue. Kevin is exactly right. Whenever we talk about medical marijuana, the devil really is in the details. Different states have different ways of dispensing it and different rules about growing for personal medical use, et cetera. And that's where it gets complicated. So I think that it's interesting to see the kind of general debate shift in that direction. But until there's sort of agreement upon how to implement it, I think it's still going to be kind of a hypothetical.
Yeah, interesting. And it'll give us a lot to talk about, right, gentlemen? After the election, there is some differences on these issues of casino gambling and medical marijuana, as you said, Dean. Well, Kevin, if there were one of these issues that we've talked about this hour, again, lumped under the broader heading of social issues, that might sway this race for governor, what do you think it would be?
In the race for governor.
And State House, I guess you could say, too, because you've talked about the money that's come in from both sides on these issues in all these state-level races.
Yeah, I think it probably would be abortion rights, only because both candidates for governor are such known quantities on it. I mean, Maggie Hass has been a real passionate supporter for abortion rights. Over the Montaigne, this is what's run for major office, and he's been very outspoken since the first time he ran for Congress that he opposes abortion, except in cases of rape and incest and life of the mother. So, and with this Republican-led legislature having tried to do a number of things on that front, I think more voters see that as a threat than some of these other social issues, that there could be significant change depending on who's at the top.
All right. Well, Kevin, thanks a lot for being with us. Again, a super busy day for you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Laura, for having me. Thank you, Dean. Take care.
Good to see you, Kevin.
Kevin Landrigan, longtime political reporter for the Telegraph of Nashua. Dean, super quick, if you had to pick one social issue that would sway the presidential race, what would it be?
I look at it this way. If Democrats are able to present this as a war on women, as an attack on women's rights in terms of abortion and access to contraception, I think it really helps Democrats. If Republicans are, as I said at the beginning of the show, if Republicans are able to fold this into economic issues and other types of health care issues, that may allow them to close the gap a little bit. And that's been the fundamental tension in the races so far.
All right, Dean, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure, Laura.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. Let's check in super quick now with our fall membership drive.
Good morning and welcome to our fall fund drive. I'm Rebecca Lavoie in the studio with Virginia Prescott, and we have $6,600 left to raise this hour. Not insurmountable at all. That is just 5 people donating at the Leadership Circle amount, 10 people at $50 a month, or 20 people at $25 a month. Very, very doable. You know you appreciate The Exchange. Over the last few minutes of The Exchange there, we heard from Steve from Alton, the Lakes Region resident and member of the Concord Corral. I want to plug them a little bit. Used to be a member myself. He said he appreciates all the coverage The Exchange brings his way and gave us a call to support it. You can support it too. NHPR.org or 1-888-805-6477.
It's a great time to support public radio, non-commercial radio, and perhaps a big selling point right now, there are no campaign ads on New Hampshire Public Radio. If you appreciate that respite, it's a great reason to support NHPR. We are public, we are non-commercial, and that means that we can take more time in our programming on issues. We can take time to unravel complicated issues, and as you've heard today, tick through a couple of different ones that may really make a difference in this race and attempt to make sense of them. And finally, we present them to you to draw your own conclusions. You are the public and public radio. You are our supporters, our listeners, and you are the person that we are programming for. Come forward today and become a member. Support NHPR.org is where you can set up your sustaining membership or call 1-888-805-6477.
You listen every day. Maybe you've been listening for years, so you've probably come up with many excuses why not to become a member. We could go on all morning with the reasons why you listen to these programs and why your support is necessary, but you need to make up your own mind. You need to make the realization all on your own that NHPR is stronger when you pay for the listening you do. Do your part. NHPR.org or 1-888-805-6477.
And when you become a sustaining member with NHPR today, you will be entered into this drawing that we have going just for today to win a MacBook Pro laptop, something that you can take anywhere that will work for 7 hours without on battery.